You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following the government announcing its fast-track approvals bill, which gives ministers ultimate authority on whether to approve significant infrastructure projects, environmental groups have raised concerns that this may undermine existing environmental protections. First, I spoke to Coromandel Watchdog of Hauraki chairperson and former Green MP, Catherine De La Hunte, about how the bill could affect protected areas in the Coromandel. What is your reaction to the government's proposed changes to the fast-track consenting process for regional and national projects of significance?
It's hideous. So if you want to see what dictatorship looks like, we now have that in resource management. And I don't know how many people saw Chris Bishop on Sunday program, but it was very clear that there's no place for public participation. There's no place for environmental groups with concerns. There's no place for anybody except a small panel of experts who are only allowed to set conditions on proposed projects under the fast track, and they cannot even reject those projects. They can only set conditions. It's taking us back to well before the 1970s, and for those of us who've been fighting for my area, it's particularly horrible because the Act, the Fast Track Bill, as it is at the moment, specifically targets our area and takes away the protection under what is known as Schedule 4 of the Crown Minerals Act, which was no mining north of Kōpū, no open cast mining north of Kōpū near Thames here. And now they've taken all, we fought for that. We created that protection in the 1990s and they've taken it all away. So to say that we're angry and gutted is an understatement.
How significant is this change in comparison to previous governments? This bill has been compared to Muldoon's era legislation. So what have we seen like this in recent times?
I think it's been a long time since we've had anything so draconian. The Labor Party, the Labor government had just brought in the natural something rather bill, which I've lost track of, which was to replace the RME, and they also reduced public participation and set up expert panels, but they didn't permanently prevent people from being heard. So we haven't seen this for a very long time. So when we talk about Muldoon, that's one example. I would actually use the example of 1984 when the Roger Douglas cabal of neoliberals took over government, because what's happening is not only are people now fighting this issue, but there's a blitzkrieg of issues that's attacking the treaty, attacking the community, attacking health, attacking te reo, attacking the environment, like through this one. There's so much going on at once and people are reeling, and that's how it's done when you want to force through changes that are basically really unpopular, and they're doing it and they don't care that they don't have a mandate.
How has the government justified its ability to do this?
So I was in Parliament for 9 years. Urgency is always used. It's supposed to be used for things like, you know, say a pandemic when we're in crisis, or a Christchurch earthquake, or legislation. Some urgency was used for that. But both the major parties have used it for issues they don't want publicly debated, because what it means is it stops select committees. Now, for Fast Track Bill, there will be a select committee, but a lot of other horrible bills have been forced through in recent weeks. For example, the destruction of the Māori Health Authority and the tobacco laws, that didn't have a select committee. We will get a select committee, but the coalition government will have the majority on it, so we won't be able to change things significantly. And this is really undemocratic. What they're doing is really undemocratic in the sense that they're taking away people's rights to be heard in court. So there's no opportunity to use the normal legal processes that we've done for years. And their justification is we must extract everything, we must make money. And really it's about them and their foreign investors and backers, the people who are going to make money out of a hell for leather approach to the environment, the people who want to keep mining coal despite the climate crisis, rip up the gold and put it in banks overseas. It is not going to benefit us. And the risks to water, the risks with things like seabed mining, the tangata whenua of Taranaki have fought so hard, and all of this is being taken away, and it's absolutely draconian, and it is really important now that people join together to understand and support the fight against this project, because all we're left with is direct action protest and mass mobilisation.
When I was speaking to the ACT Party this morning, their representative Simon Court said that mining does not have long-term environmental effects. What would you say to this?
Honestly, what does he know? We've been working with the effects of mining from last century are still affecting the area here. We have got vast tailings dams full of toxic waste created for the Waihee gold mines in Waihee, and we're at risk because of climate change. If there was a weather bomb, we would have devastating effects. The small mines we've cleaned up in this area, and I was just talking to the regional council about this, the smaller mine that closed in the 1970s cost us $20 million, and it's not even as big as a rugby field. These are vast areas that now have toxic waste all over them. The risks to water, the risks to the Hauraki Gulf with those mines, the risk to communities of living with constant blasting under the town of Waihee, he just does not know what he's talking about. One of the greatest problems with mining is the legacy effects. And who pays for them? Because the mining companies leave, and then the communities have to pay. And we're in the 21st century with a biodiversity and climate crisis. The mine they want to open up behind Waihee at the place called Whareterauponga is the home of the 200 million year old species, one of the rarest and most endangered frogs on the planet. And they want to blast underneath that 24/7 so they can rip the gold out and no one benefits.
Do you think it's possible to promote sustainable management of natural and physical resources while also having economic prosperity as a goal?
Yeah, I mean, it's about how you define prosperity. If you're talking about prosperity, including the prosperity of the natural world that feeds us, there is many things we can do to build a prosperous and healthy society. We can grow healthy food. We can be the world's most natural and most regenerative farming producer. We can produce many industries do not require that we trash the environment. We just have to have good rules, and the rules have to be clear about who benefits and how are we going to ensure our bottom line. The environment is the economy. That's the bottom line.
2-3 years from now, when we're heading into another election, when the public will get another opportunity to vote, what do you anticipate could be if a policy like this is introduced to what you would see as having its worst effect?
Well, I think at the next election, what we need are the only parties I trust is the Party Māori and the Greens. And if they get up, and I'd love to see Labor join that group, but I haven't heard much from them about this. What we need to see is that the fast track law will be repealed, that will actually create a system which is fair, which allows people, tangata and tauiwi katoa, to be heard in the community, and that any of these fast track projects that have been consented without any public process by the minister will lose that consent and will have to reapply. I don't think we can just allow these people to carry on because a random government, which has been with a tail, which is a vicious tail of the coalition, is running a heartless dog, which is the national government. I don't think we can let that carry on, and there have to be consequences, and it has to be stopped. And so I'm really hopeful that even before the next election, we can mobilise enough people to let them know that this is politically unacceptable. A little promo. So on Saturday at Karangahake Gorge, a beautiful area for cycling and walking, we're holding a rally. Coromandel Watchdog of Hauraki is holding a rally against the fast track bill and against the mining that's happening in that area and from 12 o'clock on. And we welcome everybody from the BFM audience. We welcome everybody. Come down, bring a picnic, have a lovely day, listen to us talking and have a little walk with us in the forest, because we really need the help of our wonderful people in the cities to understand what we have to lose. And so that's 12 o'clock this Saturday at Karangahake, and we'd love to see anybody there who is interested in supporting this issue.
The environmental group Climate Justice Taranaki have also protested the bill over concerns it may open up new seabed mining projects in Taranaki. I asked spokesperson Urs Signer for their thoughts on the bill.
Well, our group is horrified at the proposed fast-track bill that came out a few days ago, pushed by the coalition government. And we think it's a really stupid move, given that we're in the middle of a climate crisis, to push through these this bill that ultimately will see more damage to the environment and more damage to communities. So it's really a disaster in the making, this bill. And it's a shame that we have to still, in 2024, fight these kind of initiatives. But it just shows that the government wants to try and bring Muldoon back to life. And a lot of people have sort of compared this proposed bill with a bill that was drafted in 1979 called the National Development Act, which is probably a while ago for many of you listeners, including myself too, obviously. But that's kind of the bill that gave us the Think Big era of Muldoon, the so-called Think Big initiatives of trying to attract big industry to Aotearoa in the hope that it will get us out of an economic troubles. And of course it didn't. It just created more environmental damage. So it's kind of going back to that era of Muldoon, and it's really scary to think that the government is going down that path rather than investing in communities and investing in solutions that actually bring down our emissions. We're going down the track of just propping up failed industries.
What potential projects that could now be approved are you particularly concerned about?
I guess part of the problem is that we don't really know what's on this list. Like, they talk about 100 potential projects, but there's certainly been indications by several of the ministers what they're talking about. Chris Bishop and Shane Jones in particular have alluded to mining and to kind of more hydro dams and to more industry. Those kind of projects are in the pipeline. So the ones that obviously we're concerned about are the ones that impact on climate change. We all know we need to urgently bring our emissions down. 50% of Aotearoa's emissions come directly from the dairy industry, from industrial dairy. So those are mostly the methane emissions from cows, but also the emissions associated with the production of the milk powder that's then exported overseas. So it's any kind of projects that prop up that industry that really we need to move away from that kind of model of doing agriculture. We need to move away from industrial agriculture and move towards regenerative approaches to producing kai that's actually feeding communities rather than kai that's just an export commodity. But at the same time, we're particularly worried about any kind of proposals that will make it easier for companies to start mining operations. At the moment, we're fighting a company called TTR, Trans-Tasman Resources, that have applied again to the EPA to start iron sand mining offshore off South Taranaki. We've actually got a hearing starting in Hawera this week in front of the EPA. This is not a new application. This company has been trying for several years to get approval by the EPA to mine the seafloor for minerals. They talk about iron sand, but they're actually after another mineral called vanadium. So it's those kind of projects alongside, say, gold mining in the Coromandel or further exploration for oil and gas, both in Taranaki and elsewhere, that will likely get the go-ahead under this bill, so that it's just by the discretion of the minister to make decisions. And that's a really scary process that basically shuts out iwi and hapu, shuts out community groups. It stops the whole kind of democratic or democratic-ish process that allows people to engage with those kind of proposals. So those are our main concerns. It's the projects that enable climate polluters to keep going, and projects like mining, both onshore and offshore, that really could have disastrous effects on the local and global environment.
Speaking of iwi and hapu, what does this, in your opinion, indicate about the government's commitment to meeting its obligations to Te Tiriti?
Yeah, great point. And I mean, Tangata Whenua Māori are already organising up and down the country and have been for the last few months around the response to the government with these kotahi tangahui that started in Tūranga Waiwai in January, then went on to Rātana and up to Waitangi Nahi. Another hui is proposed to take place in Ngāti Kahununu in a couple of months' time. So there's a lot of discussion around how to respond to the government. Obviously, Māori have, and Tauhui supporters, have a lot of fights on our hands. That's, for example, the disestablishment of the Māori Health Authority. It's the attacks on Te Reo Māori. It's all the kind of rhetoric, the right-wing rhetoric that ACT and New Zealand First have been pushing for years now. But also Māori have been strong advocates for the environment. I mean, it's Ngāti Ruanui here in Te Aparamaki together with Ngā Rauru that have been fighting this seabed mining application from the get-go. They've been the most vocal opponents in organising in the community to stop this company from getting into the door here in Taranaki. And the same goes for oil and gas explorations. It's always been tangata whenua that have been holding the line opposing oil and gas here in Taranaki. So, yeah, it's huge. It's a big mess. And so a lot of us are taking time to read the bill, and a lot of us will need to make submissions. We have until the 19th of April to make submissions on the fast-track bill. So anyone listening who's worried about what the government's proposing, there are opportunities to engage in their process. I say their process because we have other processes too of resistance. That is marches in the street, just like the climate strike that's coming up on the 5th of April. We can organise in that community. We can engage in non-violent direct action like we have done for decades as a movement, as an environmental movement, but also as social justice activists. So there's avenues to engage and encourage us, all of us, to be involved and get engaged. We cannot disengage. We cannot let this government get away with what they're planning at the moment. Yes, we can talk about what happens in 2.5 years' time in another election, but so much damage can be done, and it's our obligation to stand up for communities and for the environment right now.
Do you think it's possible for the government to ensure sustainable management of our natural and physical resources while also having economic prosperity as a goal?
It's totally possible, but their approach is not aligned with finding their balance at all. You know, we have to find solutions that provide economic justice, is what I would say. But at the moment, what the government's proposing is economic prosperity for the few at the top, while the rest of us will be forever stuck in a rat race within the capitalist paradigm. You know, they're creating tax cuts for their rich mates. They're making it easier for landlords who, you know, own 200 investment properties to make life for us renters even more miserable. So their economic model is based on a few at the top will be well off while the rest of us struggle. And so obviously their environmental solutions are stuck in their paradigm, in a paradigm that is where nature is just a commodity, just something that can be exploited, just like people to them are just a commodity that can be exploited. Our labour can just be bought and sold, just like trees and minerals and oil and gas and emissions can be bought and sold. So I guess what we're saying is we need a whole economic paradigm shift if we want to actually talk about sustainability, because capitalism has demonstrated for the last couple of hundred years that it is incapable of creating a sustainable future for our mokopuna. So I guess we're talking about economic justice, and economic justice requires a shift in our capitalist model because it's exploitative and it's destructive.
That was Coromandel Watchdog of Hauraki chairperson Catherine De La Hunte and Climate Justice Taranaki spokesperson Urs Signer on the government's proposal to fast-track infrastructure projects.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.